There was this Unitarian in the mid-19th century called John Sullivan Dwight. He went to Harvard Divinity School and eventually, though very briefly, became a Unitarian minister. Attracted to the Transcendentalist movement, he quit the ministry and joined the famous utopian community Brook Farm. After Brook Farm disbanded, he spent the rest of his life as the founder and editor of Dwight's Journal of Music. But the other thing he is famous for, though no one here probably knows, is that he was the one who translated O Holy Night from the French into the English in 1855. He got creative with the words and he added his own, including the words which we rarely sing today. And I'm not going to sing them, I'm going to say them. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Christmas celebrates the incarnation, the divine becoming human. As the Orthodox Christians say, God became human, so humans could participate in God. What does it mean to participate in God? In fact, what does it mean to be divine? I think that is what we learn from the infancy narratives in the New Testament. It's that the divine is not what we thought it was. Instead of a great king or ruler, we got a child. A poor, vulnerable child born in the most modest of circumstances, whose parents were far from home. The infancy narratives, especially the Gospel of Luke, give us a glimpse of what the holy looks like. Rosalie read us a piece called Christmas is Subversive. In the essay, UU minister Kendall Gibbons writes that the point of the manger and the song of the angels is subversive. It is meant to and still encourage us to turn the world upside down. Her words echo the words in the Gospel of Luke. Just after Mary receives the news that she's going to have a child, she sings out her canticle, the Magnificat. In it, we hear the reversal, the subversive nature of Christmas. God has pulled princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly. The hungry God has filled with good things. The rich God has sent empty away. The divine does not come as a king. God comes as a child. The divine is not greatness and power. The divine is vulnerability and humility. This little spark, as A. Powell Davies tells us in our opening reading, the light, no matter how small it is a light that darkness cannot put out. It is a reminder, as Davies writes, that the good and true are stronger than anything that stands against them, and sooner or later will prevail. And that child does not grow up seeking power in the halls of greatness. Jesus never forgets his background. And so he hangs out with the most despised, the tax collectors, the ill and diseased, because that is where he finds the divine. Through the centuries, there have been those who have tried to switch it back. They want us to believe that the divine rests with kings and is found in the halls of power. And they intimate that impossible wealth is a sign of the divine, and there is a grasping for this so-called godlike power. That is why we have Christmas, to remind us that, no, the divine is in the most vulnerable. When we are called to participate in the divine, we are called to those places where we find the sick and the hungry, where we find the most dispossessed. The holy is not what some people say it is. And Madeleine Langley places the divine in all of the universe, that the divine is in the cosmos and in our little earth amidst it all. In the wind, ice, snow, rabbit and bird, Comet and Quark, things great and small. Everything participates in the divine. Even in Frank Rivas's amusing cautionary tale for Christmas, there is a turnaround. That which should have been despised, that which should have brought tears, instead brought great joy. As we gather for Christmas, let us remember the incarnation, the divine becoming human, so that the human could participate in the divine. It is up to us to decide what that means. Amen, and blessed be.